Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show here at Radio Free Redoubt. And I'm proud to be your host. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. This is episode 1936. That's the 36th podcast, Sunday evening podcast, of 2019. So we're cruising right along on this 6th day of October, if you can believe that. Tonight, we are going to be covering, talking about the blurry line between extremism, terrorism, domestic terrorism, homeland extreme, all of this. And then the narrative that is continuing to go down the path of marginalizing, demonizing, and setting things up for one day, I believe, criminalizing patriots who stand for, especially, and I've said this before, I'm going to keep saying it because I think it's worth inculcating. And that is really what we're up against is anti-Christian spirit. And this is a war against Christ and his followers. And of course, it's kind of easy to do because his followers are not perfect. I know I'm one of those. So it's easy to look at us, find fault, but really this is a war against Christ. So it's the world system, globalism, communism, Marxism, Islam, all of this is a war against Christ. And there is this strange spirit settling over the world government governing systems and our cultures through social media, through our entertainment, through our academia, that's increasing this anti-Christian narrative. And so that's what I was talking about yesterday. Of course, as you know, it's the American Christian Network affiliated radio network over there on KTW out of Spokane. So naturally, I usually place more of an emphasis on the Christian side of things. And over here at Radio Free Redoubt on the Sunday evening podcast, more emphasis on patriot-y preparedness type of stuff. At least that's what how I try to do it. And but hey, I'm still me. I don't change who I am going from one to the other. So the discussion from yesterday is carrying over to today. So if you want to hear kind of the foundational, what's leading into the topic, the blurred lines between extremism and terrorism. And like I said earlier, somebody was saying, you know, hey, I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist myself, or I used to be more of a theorist. Now I'm, paying attention to stuff, connecting dots, basically what they were saying. And there's something to this, you know, and it reminded me of the that sequence that I kind of penciled out. It was like, Bible believer equals, how did it go? Oh, Bible believer equals conspiracy theorist equals extremist equals terrorist. At least that's how we see the sequence of things going. I mean, we do believe that there's a one world government, that there's Antichrist, that there, you know, this is good versus evil battle taking place all around us all the time. And it's going to lead to a one world government and Christians are going to be persecuted and so on. Well, people who believe that kind of stuff are, you know, prone to conspiracy theories, which is kind of weird and kind of extreme. And extreme kind of you have a propensity for being a terrorist. Something should be done about you, right? Now we've got this this movie coming. I guess they put it on hold, but where the theme of this movie was to, you know, develop this time machine to go back into time and take out these conservative patriots before the because I guess there's this global war or there's this uprising rather against this globalist governance system, and so they the leftists developed a way of going back into time to take out key leaders, key personalities in this uprising that were effectively fighting against this globalist regime. Isn't that something? So that type of mindset. Of course, they're already doing that with artificial intelligence. Now in pre-crimes science, now it's going to be like going back into time to be able to project with alarming accuracy the probability that you would become a terrorist in the future based on your extremist ideals, you know, like believing in Christ and the Bible and taking it literally. That's the extreme part. So anyway, very interesting times that we're living in, isn't it? Okay, so hey, we got some news and commentary to get through, so let's do that right now. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding, economic, societal, political collapse in America, and rebuilding afterward. 299days.com is the website to go and learn more. Earlier, for those of you who have are subscribers to Alerts USA, we got an SMS alert. I thought it was kind of interesting because I'm going to talk about this from a Forward Observer as well. Militant left-wing anti-fascist group Antifa, which is actually an anti-capitalist group, to hold disruptive block at upcoming Trump rally on October 10th. Coming up here in just about another, just days away. That's in Target Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And they've got themselves pretty riled up. And talk a little bit more about that in depth here in just a minute. First, from the Geller Report. A Democrat mayor pleads guilty to stealing $87,000 and resigns in disgrace. The Atlantic City Mayor Frank Gilliam Jr. pled guilty to stealing $87,000 from a youth basketball program that he co-founded. He stands to go to prison up to 20 years. He is what he's facing when he's sentenced in January. Of course, he apologized and gave the big speech about how, you know, we should be able to, you know, be able to count on our leaders and I let you down and all this kind of stuff. But no, I'm not just ripping on this guy and just bringing this story up because he's a Democrat. I brought it up because nobody's talking about it. If this were and the other thing, too, there are plenty of Republicans because we're, you know, in a world of human beings. And whether you're Republican or Democrat, there are people that just make bad choices. But what's interesting that I noted this not being anywhere on any of the slipstream media. And if this were a Republican, it would be on every newspaper across the country and primetime television coverage. But very scant local coverage on this. But across the rest of the country, they just look the other way. So it's just kind of duplicitous. I thought it was just interesting to me to see how this is not being mentioned anywhere. But if it were a Republican, I truly believe it would be. Hey, let's go to the Forward Observer. Sam Culper, former Army intelligence analyst, runs the Forward Observer, and he does a really great job. Well, of course, I subscribe to the Forward Observer, and I strongly recommend that you guys do excellent analysis of things that are going on. But in his latest Watch Report, which is a weekly look at political, social, and economic intelligence, he also includes his early warning and indications of America's volatile future. This is from an objective military analyst perspective, which is really interesting. It's the kind of stuff that that I was involved in when I was in the military. I guess I brushed up against this a lot because of what we did. It was, you know, analysis of internal conflict and studying and projecting future hotspots and preparing for those different areas. So this is kind of interesting that he's following this same formula, if you will. But there's things called PIRs, priority intelligence requirements, that commanders will put out to their intelligence team. Say, this is the priority intelligence, number one, number two, and number three, what I need to know to be able to make informed decisions. So I just want to share a little bit with you guys from PIR number one, priority intelligence number one, which is, what are the latest indicators of the far left's sentiments, initiatives, activities, and plans to gain and exercise political and social power? So this is anticipating what a commander, looking at the this low-intensity conflict going on in our country, what a commander would want to know heads up as far as what's going on out there on the landscape that could blow up into a, you know, a nice sized fireball. So that's the latest indicators here. So he, of course, he covers impeachment watch. You guys subscribe to this, you'll be able to get more in-depth detail on each of these, but I do want to key in on a few of them. Anti-capitalist block to disrupt tent. I love it. He calls it anti-capitalist block instead of Antifa. That's excellent. Instead of anti-fascist, anti-capitalist. Beautiful. To disrupt 10 October Trump rally, a post on the website It's Going Down, which is a leftist Marxist ran website, urged Minneapolis residents to form an anti-capitalist bloc at a 10 October Trump rally in the city. They call the event America is Canceled and urge participants to bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your crew, and come prepared to disrupt the nightmare that is Trump. A tweet to Rose City Antifa said that Oath Keepers had provided volunteer security at a Trump event in New Mexico on 16 September and asked readers to advise if they had heard Oath Keepers was coming. Well, Oath Keepers did put it out. I'm sure they're aware by now. They put out an alert. Volunteers needed to protect Trump supporters at the Minneapolis Trump rally. So they put out this alert for Oath Keepers, veterans, bikers, three percenters, and other capable patriots. We need your help. They're saying the violent communists of Antifa have issued a national call to action for Antifa and other radical America-hating leftists to converge on the upcoming Trump rally in Minneapolis on October 10th, coming up this week, to disrupt the Trump rally with an Antifa Black Bloc America is Canceled protest against capitalism, against Americanism, against America. We need to be there to provide voluntary security escorts for rally attendees as they walk to and from the rally. So it's a matter of time for heads get broke. I mean, more heads get broke. But this is the day and age we've lived in. We've allowed Marxism to come to maturity, and now we're looking at the Marxist revolution on the streets in America. Several other topics that he covers in this week's edition is new IRS whistleblower complaint, House Democrats refine their impeachment messaging, and then this caught my eye. Biden releases his gun control policies. Joe Biden recently released his gun control platform, which includes a ban on the manufacture of so-called assault weapons and a voluntary buyback or mandatory registration of existing military-style firearms. Americans would also be subject to background checks for all purchases, including private sales, and would be limited to purchasing one firearm per month. That ought to do it. Also, Seattle area airports are declining ICE deportation flights. Seattle, this should come as no surprise. Airports in King County, in Everett and Bellingham, over on the west side, the Lost Coast, have refused to allow flights for ICE deportations. Now, right now, ICE is using the Yakima, Washington City Airport and continues to look for alternatives in the region, including Portland, Oregon, the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club, which is a leftist Marxist militia type group, encouraged area activists to organize in your city to keep ICE out of area airports. And of course, the last time we saw the Antifa types organizing against ICE, we saw them throwing gasoline bombs or preparing bombs for ICE offices. In fact, that's what happened over there in the Seattle area just earlier this summer. Tlaib, Rashida Tlaib, Tlaib says that Democrats are trying to figure out which law enforcement agency is responsible for arresting Trump administration officials for noncompliance with House subpoenas. That could get really interesting. And then finally, as far as the Forward Observer reports go from the PIR number one, Priority Intelligence One, a coalition of left-wing groups operating under the umbrella organization Coalition to Close the Concentration Camps has begun a campaign to harass ICE contractors attempting to recruit or attend job fairs on university campuses. So that's really interesting, hitting them from that angle as well. Also, the new IGD, the Anti-Fascist Tactics Guide, is out. Anti-Fascist Clearinghouse site, it's going down, reposted an article about destroying the posters and stickers of opposing alt-right groups and other methods to keeping such groups from developing a local presence. Antifa supporters are advised to monitor alt-right social media to travel with supporters to locations where posters... stalking, right? Anyway, to go where posters are put up and to replace them with their own material. Stamp right over them as communist revolutionary tactics. Another recommended strategy is to continue identifying local alt-right individuals for doxing. This is their name. This is where they live. This is what they drive. Here's a picture of them. You know, that kind of stuff. So if you see them, you can, you know, hurt them. For doxing and retaliation at their workplace or business. Sound familiar? The anonymous authors conclude by noting that the strategies employed against the alt-right can be used more broadly in the fight against police brutality and gentrification. So those with conservative values, traditional family values, and, of course, our police. They want to dox our police and place them in harm's way, all in the name of fighting police brutality. From the Inland Northwest Report, great job over there, guys. There is an interview that they posted with permission from The New American, and this is just excellent. I love The New American. I subscribe to The New American. Outstanding, in-depth coverage of information you won't get anywhere else. But in the Inland Northwest Report, if you guys go there or click on the link in the highlights and resources posting that'll be up in the next 48 hours or sooner, scientists said that Al Gore and climate cabal are lying about global warming. This is a scientist. This interview with The New American, Alex Newman, with geologist Gregory Wrightstone, explains that Al Gore and the climate change establishment are lying about global warming, sea levels, wildfires, extinctions, carbon dioxide, and so much more. He says CO2 is a miracle molecule that is incredibly beneficial to humanity and the planet. But, of course, that doesn't match their narrative because it's about control for them, not saving the planet. Saving the planet for themselves so they can, reduce the population levels to sustainable levels, sustainable for them. From Redoubt News, North Idaho, covered this yesterday. Representative John Green, he's a state rep, announced his candidacy for Kootenai County Sheriff. This is a really important race because Kootenai County is the number one hotspot for conservative, Christian, patriot-minded people that are leaving occupied territory to move to the free zones. And Kootenai County, Idaho, just across the border from Spokane, Washington, is probably the number one place where people are strategically relocating to. So the leftists know this. They are doubling down on their efforts to try to Marxicize Kootenai County. So they're trying to influence elections. It's very important that we get as many patriots into these positions as possible. Idaho State Representative John Green announced he's a candidate in the May 2020 Republican primary election for the office of Kootenai County Sheriff, because the current sheriff is not going to run again. He's retiring. Since his constituents elected him to the Idaho State Senate, State Legislature, John Green has distinguished himself as an advocate for smaller government, lower taxes, and individual responsibility. He is definitely a patriot. Now, we're doing some research on some of the other folks that are saying that they should be sheriff instead. Some of them are good people, maybe just not as well known. Some of them aren't as good people. In either case, of all the candidates, and I'm doing more research this week. I'm actually going to be talking to a couple of the candidates besides Representative John Green to get their side of the story. Let them answer some of the research that the Patriots have been coming up with about these guys, looking into them. So I'm looking forward to that. This is really important, and I don't have an axe to grind with any of these candidates. I don't know. I only know, well, actually, I don't know any of them personally. Not that I could say, you know, this person's my friend. I can't say that. So I'm objectively really looking at all the information and the research. And right now, what I do know about John Green is he is a solid, hardcore patriot. And he's just solid. He's going to stand by the Constitution. The Constitution is going to be his guide at the state level and the national Constitution, the United States Constitution. So he's got my vote so far. But, hey, there's more information to be gathered. We'll see. Don't forget to stick around at the end of the show. The latest, which is Volume 8 of Liberty State Radio, will be aired for you. And then this week's Alert USA by Stephen Ostacolnis will be put out to you guys after the end of this show. But anyway, take a break. We'll be right back with Segment 2. Lots coming at you. Here comes the fire hose. Get ready. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Traditional American values encourage more freedom and more prosperity. So here in Liberty State, we will be adhering to the Constitution. And nowhere in the U.S. Constitution does it say a foreign governance structure can dictate to us on our own soil how we must conduct our lives in business, private property, water usage, etc. They have no legal claim to anything here in the USA. We are a sovereign nation, not an open border doormat for communists and globalists to sneak right into and overthrow our Article 4, Section 4 that guarantees to every American a republican form of government. So with that, this has been a Liberty State broadcast, a broadcast from the grassroots people. Please join me again next week as we make progress on the greatest effort in America. This is Lady Liberty signing off for now. May we trust in God, and may God richly bless America and Liberty State.
Lenin put it this way: it does not matter if three-quarters of mankind is destroyed. All that counts is that the last quarter is communist. Lenin spoke, communist world domination.
The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. The United States is founded on the principle that our rights do not come from government. They come from God. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
Welcome back to Segment 2 of The Voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from the free zones in the heart of Patriot Territory. Segment 2 is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the Panhandle. If that's where you are looking to go and you want some help finding the property that's right for you, get a hold of SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right, now, couple things I want to go into. The blurred line between extremism, terrorism, where all this is going, and of course, you know, the experts can't even get together on this and I guess standardize definitions. So it's just this swirling mixed mess. And of course, it doesn't help that the slipstream media is helping form the narrative, and they've obviously have an agenda. Of course, we do too. We make no bones about it. This is not unbiased reporting. We do try to look at things objectively, but also through the lens Americans who love our country. We want to restore where it's lost, maintain where it's still there is a semblance of our American heritage and our traditional values and ideals. Okay, so I guess it is somewhat subjective, but want to proceed here, I guess, with a level head and try to make sense of what we're looking at when we're watching all this information swirling in front of us. So let's go to AP News. Now, this was originally reported out of the Oregon, out of Oregon Live, but there is this gentleman who was just arrested. He's from the Proud Boys. He's a Proud Boys member involved in the Portland fights against Antifa. So listen to how this reads. Of course, you look at the picture of him. He's a dark-skinned man. I don't know what his heritage is, if it's some African-American, some Asian, some Islander. I'm not sure. But this is really interesting. The conservative patriots are going up against Antifa, and it's amazing how many of them are, you know, Asian or African-American or Hispanic descent and European descent. And just they're just patriots. They love their country, right? And it's interesting how many of the Antifa screaming racist, this is for equality, right? We're going to come smash your heads in and against capitalists. And they're all a bunch of white kids from mostly middle to upper middle class backgrounds. It's a very strange dichotomy here. But anyway, Proud Boys member involved in Portland fights arrested. Now this is how it reads. A right-wing extremist who rose to prominence for fighting in Portland during a political protest, and fled the Pacific Northwest after being indicted on felony assault charges, has been arrested. Well, he flew back. He found out he got the arrest warrant. He flew back to turn himself in. He was arrested at the airport, and now he's going to stand trial. But what's interesting is that he's fighting the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer were standing up against, God bless them, standing up against Marxist revolutionary thugs who were carrying out violence on anybody they encountered that they thought was not one of them, including the police. And they're a vile group of Marxist leftists. And there are some patriots who actually had the guts to confront them and say, you're not taking over our country. It's not the end of America, not as long as we have any say in it. And they got, street fights, down and dirty street fights. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is a mutual agreed aggression, like a boxing match or a cage fight. I mean, how can anybody be arrested, right? Except the Antifa, the aggressive, militant, left-wing domestic terrorists, in my estimation, are perpetuating violence. Except for when they get knocked on their butt and get a bloody nose. Then they go, oh, I'm a victim. I've been assaulted. I want to press charges. And I'm sure that, you know, the conundrum that the police are in Portland as well, because they're the ones that are being targeted by Antifa as well. Just pretty wild. But anyway, he gained notoriety as a member of the right-wing groups Patriot Prayer and Proud Boys who fought, listen to this, left-wing activists is how this newspaper is covering Antifa. So you have a right-wing extremist who got in a fight with left-wing activists and is being charged with a felony assault. And there's the lines that start to get blurred between what's an activist, what's an extremist, and then what is a terrorist. But this is a really interesting story here that I want to share with you guys. This is from CBS News. I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, there was a report of a van driving into a mall, mowing people down, right? Inside of a mall with a vehicle. And it was clear in everybody's mind, initial reports, terrorism, right? It's Allahu Akbar, here we go. I mean, you know, using vehicles as a weapon, mowing people down. Well, as it turned out, people were not being mowed down. That was the hysteria and hype of initial reporting that was coming out. This guy in Illinois drives an SUV through a suburban Chicago shopping mall. He's facing a state terrorism charge. Terrorism. I mean, so far, of course, it makes sense, right? This Javier Garcia, 22 years old, in Illinois, has been charged with a felony criminal damage to property. I'm not aware of anybody being hurt. I can't find, unless I'm overlooking it, I keep looking for, you know, how many people were killed or how many... I'm looking through all of this information. I'm like checking it for the fourth time over. So, the state charges of terrorism are unusual, and it's not clear why the state has brought them against him. Individuals who commit violent acts are usually indicted on different federal or state charges, like hate crimes or weapons possession. This is because domestic terrorism is defined in the U.S. legal code, but not codified as law that can be prosecuted. The FBI defines domestic terrorism as acts perpetrated by individuals and or groups inspired by or associated with primarily U.S.-based movements that espouse extremist ideologies of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. So we've got the Patriot Act, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But authorities have not yet determined why Garcia allegedly drove into the mall and claim that he wasn't targeting any specific store or person. Investigators said that in a statement, they believe Garcia acted alone. No motive has been determined. He was released to police custody on Behavioral Institute. Video of the September 20th incident posted on social media shows shoppers running for safety. So the SUV's driver entered the mall by smashing through the front door of a Sears store. The vehicle drove over a kiosk and struck a Forever 21 store. Shortly after the incident, Schaumburg police chief said the suspect may have been suffering from a medical condition. But they're charging him with a terrorism charge. A Class 10 felony, I think, which carries, up to 30 years? But there's no motive. This is not, the FBI even says this is terrorism. Domestic terrorism is an act perpetrated by individuals and or groups inspired by or associated with primarily U.S.-based movements that espouse extremist ideologies. No connection there. Of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. There's no connection there that we can see from any of this research. So even the media is baffled by this charge. But what's concerning is the potential trend for how fast and loose they can throw terrorism charges around. Now some guy plows through a storefront instead of reckless endangerment, which is a felony, reckless endangerment and destruction of property up to a certain amount. You've got several felony charges right there. Why go terrorism? When the police said it could have even been a medical condition and they haven't been able to identify or announce any type of motive. It's concerning how many crimes are going to be elevated to the level of terrorism now. Is this to fit an agenda, or is this somebody who, people that are just recklessly wielding the law? So this ties into an article that I started to get into yesterday, and I started to mention. Patriots and Christians have been repeatedly labeled as potential terrorists since the previous president, who will not be named, became president. This came out in 2012, October 4th, 2012, written by Michael Snyder. And there are several examples here that I've talked about on the show. Many bloggers have covered this. Some of the documentation that's been put out by the Department of Homeland Security at that time. Now, President Trump is in there right now. This is a temporary reprieve, as I've been saying, because the left is salivating at the opportunity to gain control. And they will gain control at some point in the future. We may actually, with the demographic shifts that are taking place and the illegal immigration, the illegal invasion that is producing the next generation of thousands and tens of thousands of Democrat voters, we may be seeing the last Republican, true Republican, American patriot Republican president of our country. And that's really kind of chilling to think about. But in this article back in 2012, the author writes, "This just this week, another example of this phenomenon surfaced. Wired magazine was able to obtain a leaked U.S. Army document that contained a chart entitled Radicalization into Violent Extremism. The chart identifies the following as characteristics of potential terrorists. I'm going to go through the list. Complaints about bias. Believes in government conspiracies to the point of paranoia. Is frustrated with mainstream ideologies. Visits extremist websites and blogs. Establishes website blog to display extremist views. Attends rallies for extremist causes. Exhibits extreme religious intolerance. Is personally connected with a grievance. Suddenly acquires weapons." Of course, the previous president, who will not be named, was named as the top gun salesman every year because patriots were running out, suddenly acquiring weapons because they thought, especially when they thought that Hillary Clinton was going to become president, they were flying off the shelf, 30-round magazines, thousands of rounds of ammunition, and every type of combat rifle you can imagine were flying off the shelves. So there's lots of people that were suddenly acquiring weapons. But anyway, also organizes protests inspired by extremist ideology. Now, one thing we're not seeing here is what their definition of extremist ideology is. So let's move on here. There's another one here. Another example. The following characteristics of potential terrorists are from a presentation entitled Terrorism Training for Law Enforcement. Remember, this is 2012, but this is relevant now because we're seeing this earlier indoctrination is starting to come to maturity now. The following characteristics of potential terrorists are from a presentation entitled Terrorism for Law Enforcement Training. The SLAT program, which is State and Local Anti-Terrorism Training, is funded by grants from the U.S. Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Assistance. So, the author asks, do any of these following characteristics describe you? Militia or unorganized militia? General, right-wing, extremist. General and extremist are in the same sentence. General, right-wing, extremist. Has bumper stickers that are patriotic or anti-UN. Or the next one, those that refer to an army of God. Man, remember the Sunday school song? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Don't sing that. Now your church is going to get raided. So if you refer to an army of God, well, you could be on this list of potential domestic terror threats, according to this law enforcement report, this training that was being put out. Now, more examples of this demonization of patriots and Christians can be found in a DHS report that was released in early 2012 entitled Hot Spots of Terrorism and Other Crimes in the United States, 1970 to 2008. That report identified characteristics of those that have committed terrorist attacks in the past and those that are likely to do so in the future. Boy, boy, do we ever need artificial intelligence now and pre-crimes efforts, don't we? It's going to save so many people. Once again, and I don't know who's going to be in charge of the data input, you know, for defining what extremism is, but we're starting to see that come together, aren't we? Once again, as you're reading this list, see any of these characteristics apply to you. fiercely nationalistic as opposed to universal and international in orientation. So this is one of the items that was put out in this DHS report. Hotspots of terrorism and other crimes in the United States from 1970 to 2008. So they also list characteristics. So here comes the mission creep now. Fiercely nationalistic. Anti-global. Suspicious of centralized federal authority, just like the founding fathers. Reverent of individual liberty. Ooh, that's a big one right there. No wonder the British labeled all the founding fathers as terrorists. Next, believe in conspiracy theories. All you Christians out there that believe there's going to be a one world government, antichrist, one world religion, one world economy, Marxism. Yep. Believe in conspiracy theories. A belief that one's personal and or national way of life is under attack. So, if you are under attack, just look the other way because you don't want to be an extremist. A belief in the need to be prepared for an attack, either by participating in paramilitary preparations and training or survivalism. Well, we pay our military to be prepared for an attack and participate in paramilitary preparations, and the citizenry should too. It's called civil defense. Even if you don't have a specific source of an attack or intelligence indicating an impending attack or imminent attack, it's, I think, our duty, at least those who feel led to be prepared for that. Anyway, impose strict religious tenets or laws on society, what they call fundamentalists. Fundamentalists. Insert religion into the political sphere. Did you guys catch that? This is from 2012. Now, the minions that worked for that previous administration are still embedded all throughout our federal government and the state governments. And there are still people there who are trying to undermine and subvert the Trump administration. There are holdouts that have not been purged yet. And also although a lot of progress has been made, they are still there, and they are wringing their hands waiting for the opportunity for the next leftist, Marxist, globalist to gain control of the executive branch of our government. Those who seek to politicize religion. So what that new term now is religious dominionists. If you think that Christians should be involved in politics and be influential in your culture and your communities, you are a Christian dominionist. So those who seek to politicize religion. But see, the term's even morphed again. Now we're starting to see weaponized faith or weaponized Christianity. That's when you take your Christianity as a Christian, you run for public office, and you stand by biblical principles in your position as an elected official or even a appointed or a bureaucratic position, and you're a Christian, and your Christian values and beliefs influence your ideas, your policies, your decisions. You're politicizing your religion. You're using your religion. Now, this is Christian dominionism, or now you're weaponizing your faith to force it on other people. Although what's the truth is that these other world systems are forcing, whether it's the homosexual agenda, whether it's Islam, whether it's Marxism, globalism, they're forcing their agenda on you. And you say, no, I want no part of it. And then they appoint to you and accuse you of wanting to force your views on them. Next, supported political movements for autonomy. Anti-abortion, anti-Catholic, anti-nuclear. So another example of this trend is a Department of Homeland Security report that was published shortly after the previous president, who will not be named, became president in 2009, entitled Right-Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate Fueling Resurgence in Radicalization and Recruitment. That was the title of it, among other things. That report claims that a belief in Bible prophecy could motivate extremist individuals and groups to stockpile food, ammunition, and weapons, which, by the way, is not a crime, but they're going to make it so. The following are some of the other things that that particular report was extremely concerned about, and I'll list them. Right-wing extremists, which, who gets to define that? Returning veterans. Those concerned about illegal immigration, those that believe in the right to bear arms, ammunition stockpiling, and fear of communist regimes and related conspiracy theories. Once upon a time, it was anti-American not to be concerned about the red menace. Now it is anti-American if you are concerned about communism. What a strange world we live in today. Now, and I'm reading on, the other report that many of you are also familiar with, but we probably need to revisit, right after that individual took office, the state of Missouri issued a report titled, it was the MIAC report, Missouri Information Analysis Center, I believe. It was the MIAC Strategic Report, the Modern Militia Movement, and that report warned that the following types of people may be potential terrorists: anti-abortion activists, those that are against illegal immigration, those that talk about the New World Order in a derogatory manner, those that have a negative view of the United Nations. You see, the United Nations, protecting the United Nations, has come up in more than one document here. These people are globalists, and they're using these, they're weaponizing portions of our government to protect the United Nations, which is fundamentally in conflict with the United States. Next, those that are opposed to the collection of federal income taxes, those that display the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, those that support former presidential candidates Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, and Bob Barr. Perhaps the most disturbing element of that report was that it identified support of particular political candidates as a threat to national security. And it did. It listed them. Sadly, the truth is that our most basic freedoms are under attack. Our country is slowly being transformed into a giant prison camp, but most Americans don't even realize what's happening. So, anyway, there's more, but I'm going to take a break because there's other stuff that I want to cover when we come back. I do want to get into this domestic terrorism and homegrown violent extremism lexicon that was published in 2011. So we've got more to cover. There's a lot of good stuff here. But anyway, let's take a break. All that coming up in segment 3 and 4 here at Radio Free Redoubt.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Radio Free Redoubt.
Welcome back to segment 3 of Radio Free Redoubt on this ending out a beautiful, absolutely just stunning, beautiful fall weekend here in the American Redoubt. I love these cool, crisp mornings, these kind of cool, sunny, warm days. Cool and warm. You know what I'm talking about. If you're, I love fall. It's my favorite. Okay. Strategic Landscape Design is helping us to cover segment three, designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive. They offer remote consulting services so they can assist you anywhere, whether or not you live in the American Redoubt, with planning your property in a way that integrates the key elements of water, food, energy, and security. So check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now, I've got this document pulled up. I've downloaded several of them over the years, and so I pulled this one up out of the archive from it's publicintelligence.net, DHS Extremism Lexicon. It's unclassified for official use only, and it was published 10 November of 2011. What's really interesting here is they're, listen to the name again, Domestic Terrorism and Homegrown Violent Extremism Lexicon. So terrorism and violent extremism. They got them now merged in the same document. But what's interesting is when they go down through these groups, you're supposed to think terrorist in your mind. This is terrorism, right? Anarchist, they don't call these groups terrorists yet. So what it is the pre-stages of linking the two things together in your mind, extremism and terrorism. So one day they're going to be synonymous with one another. So they have anarchist extremists. They don't quite call them terrorists here in this document. Because remember, this is the early stages of this indoctrination campaign. Animal rights extremists, anti-abortion extremists, black supremacist extremists, and then they got domestic terrorism. See, they're not talking about a specific group. It's in very vague terms, domestic terrorism. And then they've got this, you know, any act of, I'll get into that in just a little bit. So they're, the only time they use terrorism is when they're not talking about a specific group. It's just general terms. Now let's get back to specific groups. Environmental rights extremists. And then they go on. But here's militia extremists. What is a militia extremist? I thought that was kind of fascinating because militia is specifically mentioned in our Constitution, right, as necessary for a free state. It's necessary for the security of a free state. So, a group or individual who facilitates or engages in acts of violence directed at, because look, militia or armies, their job is to engage in acts of violence, is it not? I mean, that's what they're there for. They're not to help little old ladies across the street. It is for the security of a free state. Now we have our military and, you could even say law enforcement to, you know, to keep the peace. And sometimes you have to engage in acts of violence. That's what a militia is for. But here, a militia extremist is when they're engaged in acts of violence directed at federal, state, or local government officials or infrastructure in response to their belief that the government deliberately is stripping Americans of their freedoms and is attempting to establish a totalitarian regime. These individuals consequently oppose many federal and state authorities' laws and regulations, particularly those related to firearms ownership. I want to correct them. These individuals consequently oppose many federal and state authorities' laws and regulations, particularly those that are in violation of the Constitution, because they are unlawful if they are in violation of the Constitution. That's what the militias that I know of, and I'm not in a militia. Well, I guess every male, you know, capable of bearing arms is part of the militia. All the citizenry are the militia, right? That's what a lot of the founding fathers said. But there are militias who train regularly and they're organized. They're organized and they train regularly. and they have a, you know, a rank structure and so on. Those, the individuals that I know of and all the militias that I've met are opposed to many federal and state authorities, laws, and regulations that violate the Constitution, including firearms ownership. But we're supposed to be opposed to unlawful laws, whether you're in a militia or whether you're an elected official or whether you're the garbage man. We should be opposed to many federal and state authorities' laws that are in violation of the Constitution. Well, I'll read on. And they often belong to armed paramilitary groups. Hello, that's what a militia does. It's for the security of a free state. Anyway, they often conduct paramilitary training, good on them, designed to violently resist perceived government oppression or to violently overthrow the U.S. government. Now, stop right there. I don't know of any militia people that I've ever met who want to violently overthrow the U.S. government. Not one. I want the U.S. government restored. I don't want it overthrown. But what do you do, like in World War II Germany, when certain individuals within the government are abusing their power and oppressing the people and wielding state-level resources to oppress, illegally incarcerate, or even execute people because they're Jewish or because they're Christians or because they have a Gadsden flag on their bumper? What are we to do? History tells us, and all of those who have gone before us, and we've heard from many testimonies from people who have gone through that type of oppression and said, you people need to stock up on arms no matter what they say, no matter how they try to make it uncool, socially unacceptable, or extremist, or whatever. Ignore all that. Because those people said, by the time we realized that we had no choice but to defend ourselves and to arm ourselves, they had already disarmed us. And so we're listening to those that have gone before us. That doesn't make us extremist. Well, I guess to a tyrant it would, but nobody's trying to overthrow the government. Nobody that I associate with or know of. So this is very dangerous wording. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is the definition of terrorism. When we come back, segment 4. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Stay right there, Patriots.
Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner.
Welcome back. This is the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt, episode 1936. Man, this is, it's flying by, isn't it? Okay, segment 4 is brought to you by Werks Holsters. This is WERKZ.com for your custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made here in the American Redoubt and a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Okay, so we're talking about extremism, terrorism. Extremism still is yet to be defined. I mean, there's a number of different definitions, but it's also departmental level subject to defining. So this is a very concerning thing when they're continuing the trend that they started 9-10 years ago of merging or confusing and blurring extremism with terrorism. Now, terrorism they pretty well have defined, except what's interesting is the United Nations does not have a definition of terrorism. Isn't that something? And they try to explain. I'll get to that in just a minute here. Now, the CIA defines terrorism as the term meaning premeditated, politically motivated violence perpetuated against non-combatant targets by subnational groups or clandestine agents. I would agree. I would think non-combatants is or just indiscriminate killing of non-combatant targets by subnational groups or clandestine agents. The term international terrorism means terrorism involving the territory or citizens of more than one country. The term terrorist group means any group that practices or has significant subgroups that practice international terrorism. Of course, the CIA, they're international minded. That's where they're focused outward, right? Across the country, across the world, I mean. That's where they have their tentacles, all over the place. So, unlike the Department of Homeland Security or the FBI, the Homeland Security definition of terrorism means any activity that A, involves an act that is dangerous to human life or potentially destructive of critical infrastructure or key resources, and is a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state or other subdivision of the United States, and appears to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. I would say that's a pretty good definition of Homeland Security of terrorism. I would also say, indiscriminate killing, except when you see these active shooter situations, those are indiscriminate killing of non-combatants with no political motive. They're just demonically possessed, driven to kill as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time. Which, by the way, is another really great reason why we should never allow our citizenry to be disarmed. It is up to a person whether or not they want to be able to defend themselves against demoniacs who are bent on killing as many people as possible. In this day and age, now more than ever, we should have the right to self-defense. This is not the time to disarm the law-abiding citizens of your citizenry, because those that have no regard for life and want to carry out those kind of acts aren't going to care about the law anyway. Now, the National Counterterrorism Center, NCTC, definition of terrorism is found in Title 22, which provides that terrorism is premeditated, politically motivated violence perpetuated against non-combatant targets by subnational groups or clandestine agents. Pretty much right in line with the CIA. Now, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, and the Department of Defense, naturally, are almost identical, which reads, the unlawful use or threatened use or of force or violence against individuals or property in an attempt to coerce or intimidate governments or societies to achieve political, religious, or ideological objectives. Now, you could say, well, this is what the government does when it goes to war with another people, another country. You're threatening the use of force or violence against individuals or property in an attempt to coerce or intimidate governments or societies to achieve political, religious, or ideological objectives. Are we not? Yes. The key word here is unlawful. the unlawful use, which goes back to the laws of land warfare and just war theory. When is it lawful and justifiable to go to war, and so on? So if you're doing those things outside of the law, then it's terrorism, according to NATO. So when are you? But here's the other line. When not line in the sand. What about the other? Let's look at another component of this, I should say. You are in Warsaw, Poland, surrounded by concertina wire, and shock troops are coming in and randomly executing your friends and your family, and you finally decide to resist. And it is against the law. Matter of fact, it's the death penalty if you're even caught with a firearm. It's a death penalty if you resist. So there comes a time when it doesn't matter what the law is. Now, right now, and they're going to call you a terrorist. That's what the Nazis called the Jews who were fighting against them, and in France and in all over the place, all over Europe. They were terrorists. So, I mean, what's scary now is the time when they are already starting to blur the line between what's extremist, or blurring the line between extremist and terrorist now at this stage, while the anti-Christian rhetoric is really ramping up. And this is what has people concerned. I don't know of anybody who's making any plans to carry out any operations or military operations or military action or anything like that. But people are thinking that they're not going to give up their firearms because a time is coming, just like the people in France, just like the people in Poland. There's a time that's coming when for the... out of necessity for a free state, for us to regain freedom again, is to be able to stand up to these people. So it's very interesting times that we're in. There's a whole thing on violent extremism and what is violent extremism from the FBI or the Department of Justice. And I don't have time to get into it right now. Maybe I'll go over it next week. I'm not even sure what I'm going to cover next week. There's just so much just unfolding. It's like billowing over. Very, very interesting. So, actually, there's quite a bit of material that I want to cover next week. That's going to tie in with this. But, you know, I do want to say this. I know myself and pretty much everyone that I know is not anti-government. Everyone that I know of, well, not everybody that I know of, but most of the people, many of the people that I'm associated with, and you can see it on the blogs, people I don't even know, on the internet or in speeches or rallies and writings and blogs and everything else, that they're not going to give up their firearms without a fight, because they know what that means. And nobody that I know of wants to overthrow the government or harm anyone. But I'm reminded of Abraham Lincoln's speech that I want to read a quote from him. And this summarizes where I stand on this. And he said, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution." And I stand with Abraham Lincoln on that, because we need to overthrow the people who are perverting the Constitution. It is the law of the land, and they're acting unlawfully. And this is growing into institutionalized abuse of people that want to maintain the rule of law as a constitutional republic. And now the rhetoric that's out there is that the people who are concerned about the unlawful, unconstitutional perversion that's taking place and want to stand against it are being made out to be extremists / terrorists. They're creating their own monster. So anyway, I just, be armed, buy another case of ammo, pray you'll never need it. And, that's our American right. That's not a crime. Matter of fact, it's a right, and many would even argue that it's a duty. And I wonder what the Founding Fathers would say if they could be here right now, looking at all of this. What would they say? They'd probably laugh and say, "Welcome to the club, boys." But they also asked us that all the sacrifices and everything they went through for us to have this country not be squandered away. And they said that the price for that liberty is eternal vigilance. So we are here being eternally vigilant. So thank you guys for standing with me in that. And thank you for being part of the remnant, the black sheep going the other way when all the other sheep are going off the cliff. Anyway, you guys have a blessed week. This is John Jacob Schmidt.
Good night.